ABC Radio Australia.
Now, the latest research on Papua New Guinea's economic links with China has identified a surge in aid spending from a cashed-up country seeking to extend its influence in the Pacific. It's reached the point now where China is matching Australian aid to PNG dollar for dollar, and with far fewer preconditions attached. But as Bill Bainbridge reports, a survey of former politicians, senior public servants and army officers, amongst others, has revealed some disquiet over what price PNG may have to pay for its aid down the track.
Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi has met with Papua New Guinea's Foreign Minister. Wang said over the past 42 years of diplomatic relations, the two countries have made substantial progress in various fields.
PNG Foreign Minister Rimbing Pato was in Beijing to meet his counterpart in April. It's a sign of the warming ties between the two countries ahead of Chinese President Xi Jinping's visit for APEC later this year. And the relationship includes more than just handshakes and photo opportunities, with development aid, by some measures, surging to $500 million a year. Professor Matthew Clark is one of a group of researchers who've investigated how the elites of Papua New Guinea view that aid money.
Well, they certainly recognise that the aid is different, that there is a difference between Chinese aid and Australian aid.
The researchers from Sydney and Deakin Universities spoke to 18 former politicians, public servants, activists, financial advisers, lecturers and others about their views on both Australian and Chinese aid.
They were able to identify that the motivation for Chinese aid is quite clear, that it's largely around locating new markets, but it is also about China trying to increase its influence in the region.
But they also recognise that Australia uses its aid budget to gain influence in PNG. And while Australia is seen as having a paternalistic approach, China provides few conditions on how their money is spent.
One of the respondents that spoke to us about it described Chinese aid as being much more masculine, that it was used to build things and deliver big infrastructure, and that might appeal to Papua New Guinea leaders given the culture of leadership within Papua New Guinea.
It begs the question as to whether Australia should offer untied aid as a way of competing with China's influence. But Bal Karma from the Australian National University cautions against that approach.
That was what used to happen before this current program of tied aid, before it was an untied aid. The problem that came out of that and was validly raised was the systemic accountability issues and corruption in the government, which continues to be an issue for PNG for a long time now.
Matthew Clark agrees and says that rather than ape the Chinese approach, Australia should look to improving what it does already and not imagine that its own aid is above reproach.
There was also a sense that when they compare it to Australian aid, they see Australian aid promised to Papua New Guinea and then being used to pay for Australian consultants or flows back out of Papua New Guinea back to Australia. And one of the people that we spoke to sort of questioned whether that was just as corrupt as Chinese aid. So there was quite a reasonable, nuanced understanding that aid has multiple purposes. And therefore people in positions of power and influence can actually utilise either Australian aid or Chinese aid to their own benefit, perhaps ahead of that of their community. It was recognised that there were flaws in both Australian aid programs and Chinese aid programs in that regard.